Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And it's good to be in fellowship with you all once again. I pray that God has blessed you abundantly in this past week. And what a joy to come together with others of like faith and to praise Him from whom all blessings flow. So Sabbath blessings, one and all. Our opening song for tonight's service is titled, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And our dearest sister Joan will open this for us.
I'm sorry, I started singing without turning on the mic. I guess I'm just a little excited. Let me start again. Sorry. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Blessed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And don't worry about starting to sing before hitting the mic. I have several times started to talk before hitting the mic. So I've learned to look at that little bar next to the mic. And if I don't see that showing a green going up and down, then I know that I haven't hit the mic yet. No one's hearing me talk. So thank you, dear sister, and that was beautiful. Well, dear ones, let us go ahead and bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy merciful kindness and overruling providences in each one of our lives throughout this past week. Thank You also for bringing us back together again in sweet fellowship and to worship You, our Savior, and all that you have done for us and will continue to do for us in this fellowship gathering tonight. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be your sons and daughters through our Savior. Thank you, Savior, for making it possible for us to become connected with our Father again. And thank you, Spirit, for making it possible for us to live like our Savior, to follow His example, and to have the grace and the strength to say no to sin and yes to do God's will. Father, we give you control of this home church and of this meeting tonight. Please rule and overrule according to thy perfect will and allow our Savior to be uplifted and our spiritual life rejuvenated and brought closer to him and to you. Dear Savior, I pray that you will dispel darkness in our hearts and allow us to see the truth more clearly tonight. And dear Spirit, we pray that you will lead and guide us into all truth and away from all error. Please reprove us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Refine us, purify us, justify us, and sanctify us. And thank you so much for being another intercessor and taking our prayers before the Father and adding to them the things we know not how to plead. And thank you, Savior, for also being our intercessor through your precious blood, merits, and righteousness. Father, we pray that you will be with the meetings that are taking place around the world. Please bless them, prepare hearts to receive an understanding of the truth so that the efforts put forth will not be lost, but will be beneficial in bringing precious souls out of the world, out of the fallen churches, and into thy kingdom through Jesus Christ. We thank you that we're a day closer to heaven, because this earth is being filled with thy glory more and more each day. And thank you for enabling us the honor and privilege to be co-laborers with you in seeking to save the lost and adding to the great harvest of precious souls. Be with us now. And thank you for allowing us to meet here in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome one and all, and it's good to be back in fellowship with you. We're in our study book, chapter 32 of Patriarchs and Prophets, entitled The Law and the Covenants. And we left off last time at about the middle of page 368 to the paragraph, The Opinion is Held. And we left off last time dealing with the sacrifice of Christ, revealing that the law of God had not been done away with, but is still in force, every bit of it, and that light from his sacrifice has been streaming down to reach the hearts of mankind and to show them the validity, the continual binding basis of God's Ten Commandments. And so that did not end at the cross, but was fully established by the cross. But the ceremonial law, the sacrificial law, the laws regarding the priesthood, all of that passed away when Christ died on the cross, because it was just temporary. It was added because of sin, and when Christ died on the cross, he provided a way to be freed from sin And thus all of those ceremonial practices connected with the religion of the Jews had met their fulfillment in Christ. But God's law was established before sin, and thus it could not change after sin. And thus it was not done away with when Christ died on the cross. But it continues to be a standard of righteousness that points out the difference between sin and righteousness. And so that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. And before we read this, I would just like to encourage those who have any thoughts, any ideas, any questions, anything they'd like to share as we read these sentences and inspired words. If something pops into your mind, please feel free to put your bubble up and make a comment on it, to ask a question about it if there's something you don't understand. I want these sessions to be an interactive session. And that way you'll be able to learn as much as possible from our time together. And if you don't mind, I may open the room up for individuals to take over reading. And then if they see a bubble come up, then they will know that someone has a comment regarding what was just read, and then they can stop, and then the comments can be given. So I want these sessions not to be just such that you hear me read and comment on it, but I also want others to make comments as well, because God has opened your understanding to areas that maybe I don't know anything about. And it's only by you sharing it that all of us, including myself, can be enlightened in that particular area. So don't be shy, don't be afraid, don't be timid. Go ahead and make this your room. Make this a time in which all of us can try to gain as much spiritual insight and information about God's word of truth as possible. So we pick it up at this paragraph. The opinion is held by many that God placed a separating wall between the Hebrews and the outside world, that his care and love, withdrawn to a great extent from the rest of mankind, were centered upon Israel. But God did not design that his people should build up a wall of partition between themselves and their fellow men. The heart of infinite love was reaching out toward all the inhabitants of the earth. So I think you can begin to understand that God was not doing things in a corner. He was not trying to single out the Israelites as being the only people in the world that he was trying to reach or was focused upon to the neglect of all others. But God was reaching out to the entire world by the things he was doing and manifesting with Israel. God could have separated the children of Israel from Egypt in one day. Why did he take a period of months to do that? Why did he stretch out their deliverance into a period of weeks and months when it all could have taken place in a day? What was his reason? Any ideas?
I think because everybody learns something at a different rate and from their experiences in life, that some people need more time than others to learn and to start practicing what they learn to make it a part of their life.
Amen. Amen. And some comments in the room, it says it was to work out their salvation. Another comment, it needed experience in trusting this God. Okay. Another comment was to purify them. Another comment, so that they would be thankful and appreciate. Well, thank you for your patience. Our internet just crashed. And we had to reboot the modem. And so we're back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And sorry for that interruption there. But amen for your comments. There was a lot of divine reasons and purposes in the exodus of God's people from Egyptian bondage. God not only wanted to reach the hearts of the Israelites to trust in him more, that he can do miracles, and that's why each of the plagues that was brought began with what you could term minor things and then became much more dramatic and impossible to attribute to any other power but a God power, divine power. But God was also reaching out to the Egyptians. And God was also reaching out to all the surrounding nations that were familiar with Egypt. Egypt at the time was the greatest empire and the most dominant.
Well, somebody tell me where he was and I'll work on it. I was working on the translation here, but somebody tell me where he was and I'll read. Okay, God called Abraham and prospered and honored him. And the patriarch's fidelity was a light to the people in all the countries he sojourned, in all the countries of his sojourn. Everywhere he went, he put up an altar. We don't know that he passed out leaflets to everybody. We don't know that he preached to them. But somehow, they realized that he was a worshiper of the true God. And that's how he witnessed, I guess. Abraham did not shut himself away from the people around him. He maintained friendly relations with the kings of the surrounding nations, by some of whom he was treated with the greatest respect, and his integrity and unselfishness, his valor and benevolence were representing the character of God. See, we don't all have to be preachers, I guess, to represent God before others. The three Hebrews that got thrown in the furnace did it without saying a word. In Mesopotamia and in Canaan, in Egypt, and even to the inhabitants of Sodom, the God of heaven was revealed through his representatives. So to the people of Egypt and of all the nations connected with that powerful kingdom, God manifested himself through Joseph. Why did the Lord choose to exalt Joseph so highly among the Egyptians? He might have provided some other way for the accomplishment of his purposes toward the children of Jacob. But he desired to make Joseph a light, and he placed him in the palace of the king, that the heavenly illumination might extend far and near. So Joseph did some witnessing in front of the king in some method. Either it was by his pure language, or he often referred to his God as the reason why he did what he did. Elder Robert, I see you're back. I'm going to drop my bubble. We are just past 369 by his wisdom and justice.
Sorry about that. Once again, the internet is acting a little weird. But thank you, dear brother. So I think you got down by his wisdom and justice. That would be page 369. Is that correct? Okay. All right. So the point I was trying to bring up before was that God was not just reaching out to the Israelites, but he was also reaching out to the Egyptians as well as the rest of the world in showing that he was the true God and all the rest were false gods. And so even though his divine power and his attention was seemingly focused only on the children of Israel in their deliverance from Egypt and their wanderings throughout the wilderness, it was God's purpose to reach out to all the world in revealing to them the light of the truth that he was the one true God and all the rest were false. So God called Abraham and prospered and honored him for the purpose of reaching all of those that were connected with Abraham and through all of his wanderings there in the land that was not his but was promised to him. The same with Joseph in Egypt. God miraculously watched over Joseph and exalted him to the second highest position in Egypt to show that he was the only true God. So there wasn't any special inherent qualities in Abraham or in Joseph or in the Israelites. God wanted them to follow him, and if they chose to follow him, they would be his people. If they disobeyed him, he would punish them because they were breaking their covenant to be God's chosen people. But it was God's intention to use them to reach out to the world with the truth of God. So if God prospers any one of us, it's not because there's some inherent quality within us that deserves the exaltation. It's so that God can use us in reaching out to others with the truth about him. So God didn't want a separating wall that isolated the Hebrews from the rest of the world, and thus they would become a religion unto themselves without any possible stranger partaking of the blessings by accepting their God as his or hers. But God was using them to reach the world with the truth. So, continuing to page 369. By his wisdom and justice, by the purity and benevolence of his life, of his daily life, by his devotion to the interests of the people, and that people a nation of idolaters, Joseph was a representative of Christ. And each one of us, dear ones, are called to be a representative of Christ as well. Continuing. In their benefactor, to whom all Egypt turned with gratitude and praise, that heathen people were to behold the love of their Creator and Redeemer. So in Moses also, God placed a light beside the throne of the earth's greatest kingdom, that all who would might learn of the true and living God. And all this light was given to the Egyptians before the hand of God was stretched out over them in judgment. Now, what insights can we gather from this last sentence here? That all this light was given to the Egyptians before judgments came to them. Now, remember, they weren't followers of God. They were heathen. They were serving false gods. So what does this show us that God was trying to do with the Egyptians? Amen. A comment in the room says they had a chance to hear the truth and make a choice. Amen. Another comment is God is merciful, so merciful that he tried to save the Egyptians from their sins. Amen. To give them salvation. Amen. Another comment, God gives even the heathen a chance to know and follow him. Amen. Another comment, he hates the sin, but not the sinner. Amen indeed. God is extremely just. For God to punish the Egyptians without letting them know what they would be punished for is injustice. And that's the opposite of God's character. So before God punishes individuals, he gives them a chance to know beforehand what his will is, so that they will be left without excuse if they turn away from that light and choose a different path. Then they couldn't come around and complain about the judgments or about the punishments coming to them, because they already knew what God's will was and they chose not to follow it. So with the Egyptians, God gave them ample opportunity to recognize what his will was. He gave them how many generations? 400 years, so 10 generations, to know what his will was. Jacob was there. All of his sons were there. Joseph was there. They had an understanding that the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of Joseph was greater than their gods. And then with the plagues, God warned them beforehand what was going to happen. And Pharaoh made his choice, even against the counsel of his counselors when it came to the fifth and the sixth plagues. We can't fight this power. We can't fight God. We're going to lose. Egypt is almost destroyed. We need to humble ourselves before this God. So God didn't kill the Egyptians with the first plague. He gave them ample light and ample opportunity to follow that light before the judgments destroyed them. It's the same in these last days, dear ones. God would not be a God of justice if he destroyed the world without giving them warning of what was coming. Noah preached for 120 years of the coming judgment. Everyone that existed during that pre-flood time heard the message of Noah. God made sure of it. So before Probation closes in this day and age, and judgment falls on the world in the seven last plagues. Every single person of this earth is going to hear the truth, no matter how deeply entrenched in the Brazilian or Amazonian jungles they may be. God is going to reach them before judgment falls on them, because he's a God of justice. And praise his holy name for being so just and merciful. So all this light was given to the Egyptians before the hand of God was stretched out over them in judgments. It was to bring them to repentance so that they didn't have to suffer in the judgment. But God also will not force any to follow him and escape punishment. He gives them a chance to hear the word. Okay, next paragraph. In the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, a knowledge of the power of God spread far and wide. The warlike people of the stronghold of Jericho trembled. As soon as we had heard these things, said Rahab, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Joshua 2:11. So here was a group of people that were separated by 100 or more miles from Egypt. But yet they had heard what took place in the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And they heard enough to be enlightened that the God of Israel is the God of heaven and the God of the earth. Now, it took 42 years, I believe it was, no, 40 years at least, for the Israelites to make it to the city of Jericho. So here God had given the inhabitants of Jericho 40 years to acknowledge that he was the God of heaven and earth, and for them to change their wicked ways and serve him. 40 years. Are there any other instances in the Bible where a people had 40 years of probation granted them to accept the God of heaven and to change their wicked ways before judgment fell? Amen. Yeah, there was another example with Jonah going to the Ninevites. They had, after they repented, remember Jonah came with the message of God saying, in 3 days this city is going to be laid waste because of your wickedness. They repented from the king all the way down, and God granted them 40-year probation. He extended their life 40 years, one generation, to see if their repentance was true or if their repentance was just to escape the prophesied destruction. And after that generation had passed away, there's a question in the room that says 400 years equals 10 generations. And when you look through the scriptures, after the flood, it brings out, it's not precisely 40 years, but it brings out the general understanding that a generation is 40 years. So for parents to get married, have children, the children would be the second generation. And for those children to grow up, get married, and have children of their own would take about 40 years. Now, in this day and age, you know, the generations can come a lot quicker, but for a general understanding in the scriptures, 40 years equals a generation. So when the Israelites had chosen to follow God there at Mount Sinai, and then had chosen to rebel against God when the 12 spies came back, God said that it would take 40 years of wandering so that that generation that accepted his covenant but then broke his covenant would die off the scene, and then God would entrust his truth with the next generation, their children. So that's where we get sort of the general understanding that 40 years represents a generation. So God had given the Ninevites 40 years, or one generation, to see if their repentance would carry over to their children. And it didn't. And so Nineveh was destroyed 40 years later. So the warlike people of Jericho trembled when the Israelites came to them 40 years after they had heard or received the light of truth about the God of heaven. And we know that they rejected the God of heaven. And thus their city was destroyed. So again, we see the mercy and the justice of God. He allows the light of truth to come. He allows ample opportunity for the people to receive the truth and to follow the truth. But if their heart is not honest and genuine, then they go back to their old ways and maybe even are more determined to excel in their old ways. And thus judgment falls upon them in justice.
I was thinking how important it was, or it is, to be in constant communication with God, because he keeps us balanced. We don't run ahead of him, and we don't run behind him. And so we don't fall prey to what the devil does. He either wants us to be so busy we don't get in touch with God, or we go the other way and we become fanatical, and God is not in that either. But to be with God each day and to read his word and to have him in our hearts is to strike a balance and not be too much or too little.
Amen. Amen. Would someone else like to read the next paragraph? And again, if you have a thought or a comment or a question when they're reading or I'm reading, please feel free to put your bubble up or type your response in the room. So would someone else like to take the next paragraph that begins, God called Israel?
Hello, everyone. I'm going to be brave. God called Israel and blessed and exalted them, not that by obedience to his law they alone might receive his favor and become the exclusive recipients of his blessings, but in order to reveal himself through them to all the inhabitants of the earth. It was for the accomplishment of this very purpose that he commanded them to keep themselves distinct from the idolatrous nations around them. End of paragraph.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. So God did require the Israelites to keep themselves distinct from the idolatrous nations around them. But he blessed them while they remained obedient to him so that others could see what was occurring to them through this obedience. If they would have been mixed up with the idolatrous nations around them, then they could not so easily discern that these blessings came from the God of heaven because they obeyed him. It would be more inclined for them to believe that it may have been the false, or, you know, the gods of the nations around them that were blessing the recipients for their obedience. So God called his people together and he segregated them, if you will, from all the heathen nations around them so that there would be no mistake as to who was blessing the Israelites. Now, if the Israelites chose not to obey God, in other words, they were defeating the purpose of God, then could God still bless them? Amen. The answer is no. And what's the reason why? Amen. Because of disobedience. So it was God's purpose to use the Israelites to reach out to the world with the knowledge of the true God. And he gave Israel his law, his covenant. Israel chose to accept the covenant and to enter into a bond, a contract with God, that they would be his people and keep his laws. And God also entered into that contract, that covenant, to be their God, to protect them and to bless them. So as long as the Israelites fulfilled their part of the covenant, then God could bless them above any other people. And thus God's purpose in reaching out to the world through the Israelites would be accomplished. But when Israel chose not to follow God and live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth and disobeyed him, God could not bless them, because to do so, it would give the wrong example to the heathen nations around them. Amen. It would give the wrong message to them that disobedience would be rewarded with blessings from the God of heaven. So God couldn't bless the Israelites when they were disobeying him. He could not protect them while they were living in sin and refusing to repent of it. That's why you had, after Joshua died, that's why you had the nation of Israel coming under tribute to other nations, being conquered by other nations. You had one tribe having the Philistines, you know, conquering them. You had another tribe that was conquered by the Hittites and the Jebusites and others. And then you had God raising up a judge like Samson, or like Samuel. You had God raising up a savior or a deliverer to come to his people and deliver them in answer to their prayers. And then once that judge or once that deliverer had died off the scene, you had the Israelites again going into disobedience, and God allowed another nation to come and conquer them because he could not bless them. To do so would send the wrong message to the heathen. It's the same with us, dear ones. God could not bless the Protestant churches because they refuse to accept the light of truth of the first and the second angel's message. Those who received the first and the second angel were in line to receive the truth of the third angel dealing with the Sabbath. Those who rejected the Sabbath, God could not bless as a people. Those who received the Sabbath truth, God could bless. And you can see the blessings attending the Seventh-day Adventist people and church all the way up, at least into the 1900s, and then started to come judgments. And those judgments didn't wake up the Adventists. So now God cannot bless the Adventist church. To do so would send the wrong message. So God has set that church aside and is calling other people to follow him, to enter into a covenant relationship with him, so that he can bless them, and in turn, they can be an example of what God can do for those who choose to connect themselves with him in covenant relationship. But if we disobey, God can't bless us, because to do so would mislead other individuals into thinking that it makes no difference whether you serve God or disobey him, because you will be blessed either way. That idea is spiritualism. The Chinese call it yin yang. Positive and negative, light and darkness. You have to have both good and evil in order to have a balance. That's why the paganistic gods were represented as sometimes being good and sometimes being evil. And so God cannot bless you or bless any of his people while they are knowingly disobeying him, because it would send the doctrine of devils to the world. And the disobedient ones that profess to serve God would be guilty of misleading others. And dear ones, we don't want to be guilty of misleading a single soul. And so we need to follow the truth as it is in Jesus. Not just say that we do. We need to do so. So that the only influence that we have over others is an influence that will lead them to God, to the truth, and to Jesus Christ for salvation. So it is a very weighty and solemn responsibility to claim to be a Christian, to claim to be a remnant follower of God in these last days. And the only way to live up to the truth is by moment by moment being surrendered to Jesus Christ and allowing him to live through you. Amen. When Israel honored God and served God, the other nations would not fight Israel because the heathen nations remembered all of Israel's victories when God was with them. And another comment, it says, don't mix truth and error together. Amen. Another comment says, their blood is on our hands if we are not being true to our God. Amen. Remember, choosing to serve God was a voluntary choice. We weren't forced to do it. It was our choice to do it. So we need to live up to our covenant relationship with God and follow the truth of God. Because if we don't, and yet we still claim to be a Christian, we are giving a wrong example to others and are guilty of misleading them into thinking that God approves our disobedience. So God cannot bless us because he is not party to misleading anyone. He's the true God. And may God forgive us for doing anything to mislead a single precious soul away from understanding this true God, Jesus Christ. And praise God for making it possible through Jesus' sacrifice to be cleansed of all our sins. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Hugs and love from some cold Florida. Anyway, I have my weekly testimony. Not only did God keep me warm during these few cold, almost sounds in Florida, but it's cold. You get acclimated to 80, 90, 100 degrees, and when it gets to 30 or 40 degrees, it's cold. But the Lord always provides. And this week I had a big opportunity to go out, and as everybody knows, I put out tons of tracks. And there's a sister that provides them for me. And, you know, it's illegal to put them in somebody's mailbox. But guess what? It's not illegal to put them on the big community boxes like they have in a apartment complex or even in rural areas. They have mailboxes on the side of the road that have multiple homes. I put them out there, put the books. And I noticed with the Steps to Christ books, a lot of people were leery to take them. There was like maybe somebody forgot it, maybe it's somebody's book. So I just put free on them. God bless. And I went today and I put them in a, you know, when people write books and they don't end up anywhere but in the dollar stores, well, that's okay too because I go down there and I put the Steps to Christ, the Great Controversy. And, you know, they're looking for cheap books. Well, guess what? This is the best book they'll find and it's free. You can't get much cheaper than that. But in the meantime, so I've had a lot of opportunity to do that, because especially with this holiday season that they call it, you know, every opportunity, wherever they put out their Christmas displays or their music or their cards, I put tracks in there. So I've been very busy. And today I finished up all my tracks, and I got a text message from this one sister, and she asked me, she said, you need any more tracks? And I said, praise the Lord. I said, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. And I sent her a picture of where I had put them out. So any of you brothers and sisters out there in our home church and cyber world, if you're ever inclined and you have extra tracks or extra books and you really can't get out there,
you can always contact me, and I'll give you my address. You can send them to me, because my goal, by the grace of God, is this next year is try to hand out about 10,000 tracks, because last year I did about 5,000. And so by God's grace, maybe I'll be able to do double that amount this year, God willing. So that's my testimony. Plus, once again, God provides everything that I need, everything from a sweater down to a blanket. And as a matter of fact, there's a friend of mine. She came over and she had found a rug that for my little house. And it was exactly the size that I needed. And you wouldn't believe it, but it was exactly the color that I just painted the inside of the house. And it was free. So praise the Lord. God always provides. Anyway, hugs and love to you all. Happy Sabbath and God bless.
Amen. And praise the Lord, dear sister, for getting the message out there. Praise God indeed. And praise God for watching over you and protecting you and providing for all your needs. Reminds me of Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen indeed.
Amen, Brother Rob. And as far as under the veil of, under the wing of God's protection and the veil of invisibility, I'll tell you what, a lot of you folks need to pay attention too, even especially the women. When you go shopping and you keep your purse or your bag in a buggy or a cart or whatever y'all call it, you know, only takes a second to turn away and somebody snatch it up just that quick. And I always put mine in a little cart with the little baby restraint on it in case I turn around because I'm always doing tracks or something. But I'll tell you what, it's the reason I brought it up is because just as quick as somebody is to take your purse or do something, that's just as quick as somebody like me can put a book like Steps to Christ in your buggy. So it works out really well for me. And or the back of a pickup, and they have their groceries out there. I just walk by and drop it in a bag and walk on. And so praise the Lord, God, he really does keep me under the veil of invisibility. I don't think people pay too much mind to me because I'm an older person. I just think they don't pay any mind to me at all. But praise the Lord for that. So amen.
Amen. Amen. There's some comments in the room that starts out. It says, if someone offers me their track or literature, I tell them only if you will take one of mine. Praise God. Another comment says, I've placed tracks on the trains and handed them out to others. Amen. Any place you go, you can leave a track behind somewhere. If you have to take the train or you have to take the bus, or I've even heard of individuals taking a taxi and handing them to the cab driver there. No matter where you go, I mean, if you have to go to the restroom, leave a track behind. If you know that there's going to be more than one stall there, that's a perfect place to leave a track because the individuals are sitting down. They have nothing to do, you know, other than their business. But it's a perfect opportunity for them to look up and see a piece of paper hanging there, and they grab it from curiosity and begin to read it. So wherever you are, if you're doing grocery shopping, take a track along, give it to the checkout clerk there. While they're taking your money, paying for your groceries, give them a track with the money. You know, there's a lot of ways to get the tracks there. And, the comment room says, I've put tracks in the book section of the magazines. A lot of different ways. As long as the truth gets out there, then God takes over and will make sure that truth reaches the hearts that he has already prepared through his angels to receive. So the battle becomes the Lord's once you get the literature out there. And God will indeed allow it to accomplish its purpose, even those that receive the literature and then throw it away. It has served the purpose of reaching them, and they rejected it. If the truth had never reached them, and they were not given an opportunity to accept or reject it, then judgment cannot come to them. Because God is just and merciful. Remember, Christ told the lawyers, I think it was, when they asked him, "Are we also blind?" He said, "If the truth had not come to you, then," let's see, how did he put it? "If the truth had not come to you, you would not have sinned. But because it has come and you say we don't accept it, then there's no more cloak for your sin. Your sin remains." So light has to shine before judgment can fall.
Another thing too, in case you guys didn't ever really think about it, even in the bathrooms, the baby changing tables are a great place to leave them. They're usually flipped up, but if you turn around, you can put them in there. And if they happen to have paper towels that you pull down, you can put a few up inside there. So they got to pull it down when they get the paper towels. I go to the gas pumps and I leave them in where they put the credit cards, because they have to pull out that in order to put their gas card or something else in there. And, you know, I'm pretty bold. You know, I walk up to everybody and I hand them to the people. And some of them look at you like, "No thanks, we're not interested," or "I know about God." I said, "Great, teach me." So, you know, and so I think what happens is some people, they think that if it's free, there's a catch. And I told them, I said, God gives you his love and mercy for free, and there's no catch. The catch is you got to love him and be obedient. But other than that, there's not a catch. So, you know, some people will talk to you. Bus stations, those are great places. But, you know, this time of year, if you go to the grocery stores, people are buying liquor, cases of beer. Slip them in the cases of beer. I put them in all the beer, wherever you put the handles, I shove them in there. When they get home, they've got it, and they just don't know they have it. So, you know, it's just ingenuity, you know, and, you know, Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for us, so we shouldn't be ashamed to spread his truth. Amen? Anyway, hugs and love to all.
Hello again, everyone. Elder Robin, support what you were just saying, but also I want to support a comment Brother Dick made earlier when he came to the rescue so gallantly when the internet was playing up. And I want to say, as some people down here say, Brother Dick, good on you, mate. You did bonza. Some people talk like that. But really what I want to say seriously is I never cease to be amazed at how God so often just gives the opportunity to mention his name, to talk about him. I mean, I just go out and about on my business, you know, shopping and stuff. The occasion comes up so often. I might be getting off the bus and I'll say something as simple as to the bus driver, "May the Lord bless the rest of your day as he's been blessing mine." Or someone might talk about having a bad day and I can say I was too, and talk about how the Lord came to my rescue. There are lots of little ways. I talk for only, you know, a minute or more, but wouldn't try very much not to sound preachy. But it's just so natural to share with others how the Lord can deal with all of these little problems like missing a bus or whatever. And as I said, I never cease to be amazed at the way he makes these opportunities available. I've never yet met with a negative or aggressive response. People usually smile. Sometimes they smile a little bit embarrassed. And occasionally they respond in a way that I know I've really connected, like the man in the bank. I was waiting my turn, I was talking about the Lord, and he said, oh, yes, the Lord is good indeed. And I just knew what he was meaning, and it just, you know, warmed my soul. Not that I do it to warm my soul, I'm hoping to bring something to other people, but it's so lovely when you get a response that tells you the person is on the same wavelength. And that does happen now and then, which is an added blessing. Thank you for listening.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I just want to give a testimony to God's greatness. This evening, right before Sabbath, well, after Sabbath started, I went to a community center that had dinner that they have every second Friday of the month. And so got a nice blessing for a nice meal. But also on top of that, they had a bunch of clothing items that they were giving away also. And was blessed with, when I went through it at first, found a real nice Carhartt jacket that I've been hoping to, was wanting to get one on my own, but was able to find in the giveaway the a jacket. I mean, nothing wrong with it, you know, great condition and all that. And as I was eating dinner, one of the ladies that was sponsoring the event, that was doing with the event, came over to me at the table and said that she had a jacket that she thought that was able to, that I would be able to fit into. It ended up being a trench coat, a London Fog long black wool jacket, and ended up being my correct size. So I got a nice two jackets out of the deal. Praise God for that. I praise God also for blessings that he has seen me through with this past week and definitely over the last couple of months and last couple of years, especially just seeing me through. Got a tremendous blessing last night. I have two older sisters. The youngest of the two is 57 years old. I just turned 54 years old. And the last time I talked to her was three years ago when I was in the emergency room having some health issues and that. She didn't know the circumstances, what was going on. And before that, we had a falling out when we haven't talked other than that time. She said she was going to call me back the next day and never called me. And we haven't talked since. With the time that I have talked to her previously before that, tried to make peace with her, and it just being a matter of saying that she said things and I said things, and so basically to go our separate ways. But I've been wanting to get back in touch with her. I tried calling her on numerous occasions and never got a response from her. Her name is Tammy. And she has some health issues herself, but praise God, I was running around all day yesterday, and finally by the time I got home after working all night, I heard the phone go off with a message, and I was just so tired that I didn't want to get up and answer it and or see what the message was. And when I did get up later, I checked it and surprised to see that she had sent me a message. And, tried to call, not the voicemail, that's what it was. And, so she said that she was gonna call me later on in the week, over the weekend. But, she ended up calling back last night and, got to talk with her, and, we opened up and shared things, and, it was just a tremendous blessing to be able to talk with her again. I'm so grateful for it. We had opened up and shared some things from the past as we were growing up, some things that was in regards with our family. And so I thank God for that. And got quite a few messages from her today also as well. I didn't talk to her personally, but did talk to her through the text messages and all that. So ask that you keep her up in prayer. Again, like I said, her name is Tammy. My older sister, her name is Sean. I had a falling out with her years ago. Mid 80s and late 80s, And, but I've been talking with her quite a bit. We talk every couple of weeks and all that. But, when I was talking to my older sister, Sean, we even talked about with the younger sister, with Tammy, in regards with that, you know, of trying to still be family and still trying to keep in touch with one another and all that. So, you know, I praise God that God had drawn us together, and it was a great time of to have a conversation with one another last night. So that was a blessing that has been answered, has been prayed about for quite some time, and I just thank God greatly for that. Again, thank Him for all, for salvation, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness. It just, I praise Him so much for, you know, none of us are perfect, and I'm not going to make any excuses and all that, but, I, you know, with falling short, I know better at times, but I praise God that with His divine mercy and His grace that, you know, even if it's a matter of with chastising and with rebuking and, you know, of taking that joy away, you know, to call me back. I'd rather be rebuked now in this present day than come end of in judgment, have Him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I ask for your continued prayers, as I'm seeking and, looking for God's continued guidance in my life. I thank God for the ministry here. Sorry I haven't been much spoken in it, because it's just a matter I've been trying to get accustomed with being off my medicine, which is again another tremendous blessing. And so I thank God for all this. But have a blessed Sabbath. Thank God for this evening, and Sabbath blessings to each and every one of you. God bless.
Amen, and God bless you too, dear brother. And we'll indeed be keeping you in prayer, and please pray for us as well. And praise the Lord, dear Sister Lucy, for spreading the truth in the simple way of greeting people or leaving them with the thought of God's goodness and blessings. Amen indeed. And brother, you're talking about praising God, and the scripture song came to mind. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 117, 1 and 2. And we can't praise Him enough, for His merciful kindness is great towards each one of us. Well, I also want to praise the Lord. We had computer problems, remember, a week and a half or so ago. And the Lord helped me to have that problem solved, although I had to bring a different computer in to solve the issue. But this seems to be working quite great as long as the internet will cooperate. And so I just want to praise His name for the wisdom and patience in working through the problems and getting something that's much more stable to work. And, you know, computers, when they're working, can be quite a blessing, but they can be a tester of your patience when they're giving you problems. But anyways, praise God for His merciful kindness and for allowing the issue to be solved here, at least for the moment, regarding the computer working to get into the room. So praise His holy name. Are there any other thoughts or testimonies or questions, songs, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
I like to sing a hymn. It is called No Silver, No Gold. The blessing song I'd like to share with you. No silver, no gold have obtained my redemption, nor riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior now maketh me whole. I'm redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold, bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. No silver, no gold hath obtained my redemption, the guilt on my conscience too heavy hath grown. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior could only atone. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. The holy commandment forbade me draw near. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior removeth my fear. I'm redeemed, but not for silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. No silver, no gold hath obtained my redemption. The way into heaven could not thus be bought. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior redemption hath wrought. I am redeemed, but not for silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. And that's the first time I've heard that hymn. So thank you for sharing it. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and have a closing prayer. And any that would like to remain afterwards and continue, you're more than welcome to do so. And whoever would like to give closing prayer, please feel free. Let us bow our heads and our knees. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for allowing us to gather together here and to dig into your word of inspiration. Thank you for allowing us to see spiritual insights and truths. And please help us, dear Father, with your grace and strength and with the pleadings of the Holy Spirit and the encouragement of our Comforter to indeed arise and shine and follow the truth as it is in Jesus and lead precious souls to understand that there is a true God who delights in righteousness and truth and who has manifested his love for their salvation and redemption. Forgive us, dear Father, for not letting our light shine more. And please bless and multiply our efforts at letting it shine, that many more precious souls can be awakened and enlightened and led to the Savior before it's too late. Be with all of those whom we said we would pray for, who have asked for prayers. Be with all of those that have requested prayer here in the room and all around the world, dear Father. And thank you so very much for hearing and answering each one according to thy perfect will and timing. And again, thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather together with others of like faith, especially as this world grows more wicked. And thank you so much for your mercy and kindness. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, dear ones, have a blessed night or a blessed remaining of the Sabbath day. And are there any other thoughts, comments, testimonies, questions, songs? Well, dear ones, may God bless. Have a wonderful night, wonderful day. Keep looking up. Keep growing in grace. Keep advancing in the truth. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you again just a few hours from now. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. So go to work, dear ones, and may God bless.